Now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. After South African 18-year-old Caster Semenya blazed past her competition to win the world championship in the women's 800-meter race in Berlin last week, questions surfaced about her sex. Even her coach said he understood that people would ask questions because she looks like a man. With sex tests underway, Dave Zirin and Cherry Wolf wrote a piece in The Nation magazine demanding an end to what they call a public humiliation. We'd like to hear from current and former female athletes today. Is it time to end sex tests? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Dave Zirin joins us here in Studio 3A. He's the author of the book A People's History of Sports in the United States and sports editor for The Nation. Nice to have you back on the program, Dave.
Great to be here, Neil.
And explain this situation quickly for us. Apparently, this runner was getting comments about her sex even prior to this event.
Sure. But three reasons why we oppose the idiocy of sex testing, as we call it. I mean, the first thing is you see this happen historically in sports anytime a woman raises the game and looks to be the next evolutionary step in her sport. Is there's that question of, is she mannish? Is she a man? Babe Didrikson had to deal with it. Martina Navratilova had to deal with it. Now Caster Semenya. And if you think about it, no one asked if Michael Phelps was part fish. You know, no one asked if Usain Bolt, his parents were a man and a rocket ship. You know, so it's like this idea of genetic variance or oddity is only subjected upon women. The second reason why it's so terrible is she's 18 years old right now, and she's going to be under this cloud of suspicion for her entire life. She has to submit to a battery of tests, which include gynecologists and psychologists, to determine her gender when she has been raised and always been identified as a woman her whole life. But the last reason, and this is the real hot button part here, is that it exposes the very simplistic and very binary way that gender is viewed by track officials and Olympic officials. There's no comprehension that when it comes to gender, it's not as simple as you're a man or a woman. It's not as simple as the New York Times put it very cleverly, saying it's not about the genes, just pull down the genes, and then you know what gender you are. It's more complicated than that.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't DNA clarify this issue? XX, XY?
No, because there's a variance in between simple XX and XY. Roughly one out of 1,666 births are classified as intersex. That's a biological fact. Now, whether or not that's rooted in biology or genetically modified foods, or whether or not this has been always a function of human nature, it is a fact. And even a higher number of some doctors estimate as many as 1% of people have mixed, what's called mixed biology. You know, like excessive testosterone is produced or excessive androgens. And like I said, some people think it's affected by what part of the world you're from or the environment around you. Some people say this has been a fixed feature of human nature for all time, and we're only now recognizing it.
Nevertheless, if a race is for women, doesn't it seem fair to say, well, only women are allowed to enter?
Well, that's the thing maybe we need to get beyond here, because it raises this question. Caster Semenya's very heretical existence. Remember, she hasn't been accused of taking steroids or juicing or anything like that. This is about who she is as a person, how she recognizes herself. And let's remember, there's a difference between gender and sex. Sex is biology. Gender is how one recognizes themselves and how people around them recognize them. And Caster Semenya has always seen herself. She was raised as a woman. You hear the quotes from her parents, and they're heartbroken that their daughter is going to have to live under this cloud the rest of her life. But I really think the problem is not with Caster Semenya. It's the rest of us for having this very binary understanding of men and women. The variety is much more complex than that.
And, well, then what do you do?
It's a good question. And, you know who doesn't have an answer? Definitely the Olympic officials and the IAAF, the track federation. They have this constantly shifting definitions of what gender is and what it could mean, how you measure testosterone, how you measure androgens in a given body. And they don't have a clue about what to do about it. And they really are in a bind about this. I mean, there are some interesting suggestions, like maybe races should be done by muscle mass, for example, or weight. Maybe there should be weight classes like boxing. But if it is going to continue to be men over here and women over there, maybe we need to have much more elastic, much more complex definitions of what gender actually means.
And or maybe just compete in equestrian events where it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman anyway.
Or car racing.
Something like that. But in any case, let's get back to this particular case. And
sure.
Again, this young woman was there were questions raised about her sex even before she won this event.
Sure. sure. But
her coach said, of course, people are going to have questions.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, with friends like her coach, who needs enemies? You know, yeah, sure. A lot of people think she's a man. I mean, it wasn't exactly the most sensitive way to speak about your 18-year-old protege. But it's been interesting. I was on a different show, and the question that came to me was, well, shouldn't we have suspicions? Because I understand her voice is very deep. And this speaks to something about women in athletics, because if for a woman, it's like they're under pressure to perform, but they're also under pressure to conform. It's like it's not enough that you can only perform at the highest level. You also have to look a certain way. As sports writers used to say in the 60s, you have to be a girl first and an athlete second. And I think the modern epitome of that is someone like Danica Patrick, the great racer, who puts herself also in the pages of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issues and Maxim magazine. And this idea that you have to prove your heterosexuality and you have to prove your femininity if you're going to somehow be accepted in the wide world of sports.
We'd like to hear from former or current female athletes today. Should sex tests be kept, or is it time to get rid of them? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Dave Zirin, The Nation, I guess the first time I remember this coming up was in terms of the Olympics and mm-hmm. Some of the athletes from the Eastern Bloc countries,
sure.
Soviet Bloc countries. There were questions raised about steroids. All of those suspicions, I guess, turned out to be true.
A lot of them, yeah. There was an elaborate doping industry in East Germany that, to a degree, was mirrored in the West as well. But in East Germany, it was done to the degree that it did destroy many women athletes psychologically, mentally, etc. It was pretty terrible. But this controversy actually predates the Cold War controversies and goes back to the inclusion of African-American women on the U.S. Olympic team, where Olympic officials, a lot of them had, I'm being very frank here, very racist ideas about athletes of color at the time, mm-hmm. said that they were concerned that African-American women had an unfair advantage because, as one put it, they may be hermaphrodites. So this fear of a woman who does not look like a woman, I mean, this has always existed for women in sports, and it's a bigger issue than just steroids or adding testosterone from the outside. It has to do with what we think of when we say the word woman and what we think of when we say the word athlete.
800-989-8255. Rob is on the line from Ann Arbor.
Yeah, hi. My daughter was on a soccer team when she was 5 years old, an all-girls soccer team, and one of the girls on our team had an incredibly short haircut, and she was incredibly good. And the opposing coach made an issue with the umpire about the fact that we weren't allowed to have a boy on our team.
Unbelievable. Go on, I'm sorry.
At five years old.
That's
yeah, at five
disgusting.
Years old.
I mean, I have a five-year-old daughter, actually, who plays soccer as well. And the best player on the team is a young girl as well with short hair. So I'm shuddering.
And that was my question to the other parents on the sideline is, what are they going to do? Are they going to make her drop her pants mm-hmm. to prove?
Unfortunately, that is what track officials and the Olympic Committee did until about 25 years ago. It was about dropping trow in front of a group of men, usually, and they would determine then your gender that way. They've since graduated to saliva testing, but with Semenya, it's actually going to be much more invasive.
Rob, how did it work out?
Well, obviously, she was allowed to continue to play because everybody on our team was so outraged that that we had to shout down the other coach.
And how did she react? Was she aware of this going on?
She was not aware, I believe, but I am not her parent, so.
Mm. Well, let's hope that was the case, and if so, small blessings.
Yeah, I guess so.
Rob, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate that. And as you pointed out, Dave Zirin, in your piece, this goes back to the case of a Spanish athlete who was questions were raised about her, and a very poignant statement she made many years afterwards, saying that this cost her fiancé or her life.
It destroyed her. And you know, there are real stories, and this relates to what you just asked. There are real stories of like men getting in car accidents, dying. Autopsies are performed. They've lived their whole lives as men. They even have children, and it's found that they have ovaries, for example, mm-hmm. which some would argue probably is more embarrassing than having dirty underwear, I guess. But I think the point here that we have to get at here is that it's just more complicated than that. And the worst part about it with the woman you mentioned, Maria Bettino, is that it develops this witch hunt atmosphere that really does destroy these young women's lives, because they're forever have this gray cloud over their head as that they're somehow heretical, frankly.
It does raise the question also of transgendered athletes, yes. And that goes back to, I guess, Renee Richards, who was started as a man and became was transgendered through operations and competed as a woman.
Yeah, these are very real issues. I mean, it's part of our modern age, and unfortunately, international track and field, their mentality on it just does not seem to have shifted over the decades. But it needs to, frankly, because of issues of our environment, because of genetically modified foods, because of how it affects our very biology. I think they need to catch up to that or risk just having these regular witch hunts. I can't stress enough that it was Caster Semenya's opponents who raised this. Is that going to happen every time a woman succeeds in sports?
Well, let's get William on the line. William's calling us from Tallahassee.
Hi, Neil. I have a very similar issue that dovetails right into what your guest was saying. I have a friend who is transgender, going male to female. Always been an extreme competitive athlete, and after the sex change, she has started competing in the female bracket. And she's blowing away the competition by minutes. You know, this just, frankly, isn't fair to the naturally born female athletes who definitely have less muscle structure and testosterone and things along those lines. And I think sex tests are an important part of, you know, gender-based athletic events.
If there was a sex test, how would your friend test?
That's the interesting point. Just like what your guest is saying, gender is more of a gray issue these days. From my knowledge of my friend, I'm pretty sure if they did a simple pants test, you know, she's post-op, so she would test as female. But, you know, being a gray issue, there definitely needs to be, you know, a questionnaire or things along those lines, and even diving into the genetic field. Or we just need to remove gender altogether and just have open competition.
Well, that's another issue, but you're saying you don't think she should be allowed to compete as a woman?
I don't think she should. With her advantage, she really is just blowing away the competition.
And this is, you're saying taking minutes, this is running or some track and field event?
Triathlete,
okay. Dave?
I mean, it's a point I've had a lot of people raise to me online since the article came out. And I think part of it is, though, we also have to think about the advantage of being a man versus being a woman. And we look at that as sort of the ultimate advantage, particularly in a sport like track and field, which depends so incredibly on things like muscle density and whatnot, as opposed to, say, a different sport. Like, I think it's fully possible you could see, like, a woman baseball pitcher in our lifetime. Not impossible, like sports that require different skills. But it gets to this other question, though, which is very important. Because of advances in training, the gap has lessened between male and female athletes over the decades.
Absolutely.
And that's just an important variable on this, too. And maybe we should start having open discussions about eliminating the gender binary in competition altogether, maybe grouping athletes by muscle mass, by weight. Who knows?
William, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Dave Zirin about his op-ed about sex testing for female athletes, an embarrassment and idiocy, he writes. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Michelle on the line. Michelle calling us from Portland.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for having me on. I would just like to make a comment. You know, some people are born tall. Some people are born short. Everyone has a genetic advantage or disadvantage, and I think that people should just go by what's on your birth certificate. How were you born? How were you raised? If you were raised as a girl your whole life and you competed in female sports, then I think that you are a female.
And are you an athlete, Michelle?
I am. I played Division I softball.
And if there were a transgendered athlete or somebody, that would be okay with you?
Well, if I were playing Division I softball and someone was brought up as a female my whole life or their whole life, then, I think that they should be able to play. But if they were brought up as a male and then decided to become female, then I think that that's pushing the envelope.
That's a gray area then.
Yes, that is a gray area.
Okay.
I think that with sports, it should go with what were you at birth? You know, how were you raised?
With at least a small percentage of the population, as science suggests, that's a difficult question to answer sometimes. And doctors have been known to invasively
take steps, yeah.
Somebody into one form or another. Anyway, Michelle, we thank you very much for your time. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
And Dave Zirin, we thank you for stopping by today.
Oh, my privilege. Fascinating calls. Thank you.
Dave Zirin is author of the book A People's History of Sports in the United States, a sports editor for The Nation, where his article, co-written with Sherry Wolf, appeared, Stop Humiliating Sex Testing of Champion Runner Caster Semenya. It appeared in the August 21st issue. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.